Parshas Achemai starts off with Avodas Yom HaKippurim. The Mishnayos and Yuma describe the way the Avodas Yom HaKippurim had to be done by the Kohen Gadol. All year long the Avodah can be done by any Kohen head, even the Chavita Kohen Gadol that's brought every day of the year. The Minchas Chavitin means the Kohen Gadol pays for it and it's offered on his behalf. But the Hakrova does not have to be done by the Kohen Gadol. And even the Par Helam Dovah Shel Tzibur and the Par Kohen Mashiach, even though it says in Parshas Vayikra that the Kohen Gadol does the Hakrova, the Sifra says that it's not to be taken literally. It does not have to, the Hakrova, the Avodah of Par Helam Dovah Shel Tzibur, Par Kohen Mashiach does not need a Kohen Gadol. Rashi Megillah writes on the Mishnah that you need a Kohen Gadol Davke to do the Hakrova of Par Helam Dovah Shel Tzibur, and Tosfos is Masig on Rashi, it's against the Sifra. The Psukim say like Rashi, but the Sifra said, first not. The only time you need a Kohen Gadol is on Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah describes the Seder Avodah was divided into five units on Yom Kippur. First he did Avodah the big day Zahav, the Begadim, the Shmeidim Begadim from all year long. Then he did a second unit of Avodah on big day Lavan, Avodah done in the Hechel, in the Hechel. Then he did Avodah, middle unit was in big day Zahav, then in big day Lavan, then in big day Zahav. That's the way the Mishnah describes it. You read the Psukim in Chumash, the Avodah is only divided into three units. You have Avodah Big Day Lavan, you have Avodah Big Day Zahav, Big Day Lavan, Big Day Zahav. So Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Gemara, quotes from the Sifra, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Ovo Aharon Elol Moed, Omer Abaseinu, Shein Zeh Mekom Shal Mikra Zeh, Kol HaParsha Ksuva, Al HaSeder Chutz Min HaPasuk HaZeh. This Pasuk is out of order. If you do the Avodah the way it says in the Chumash, the Avodah is only divided into three units, Big Day Zahav, in the middle is Big Day Love, and then at the end is Big Day Zav. Big Day Zav is the Begadim of the Shmonim Begadim from all year long. Yeah. Velvela Soloveitchik in the Sefer on Yuma points out, based on a comment that the Ramban makes in the Melchamas, that if a person, if the Kohen Gadol will do the Avodah the way it's described in the Chumash, it'll be kosher. The Avodah on Yom Kippur has to be on Allah Seder. If you're Mishana the Seder, it's possible. So Rabbi Elbala points out, based on a Ramban, if you do the Avodah the way it says in Chumash, it'll be kosher, but you will not have fulfilled the halacha l'moshe m'sinai that Chumash tvilois v'asar kiddush and toivel kain gadol b'yom ha-kippurim. We have halacha l'moshe m'sinai, he's supposed to do tvila five times. Whenever a kohen comes to the Beis HaMikdash and he puts on big dekuna, so he gets a higher level of kedushas kuhuna. The two levels of kedushas kuhuna. The Gemara says, if a kohen does Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash and he's not wearing the big dekuna, so the Avodah is Mechulelas. Because Bizman Shebigdei Malem Kunosim Aleim, Ein Bigdei Malem, Ein Kunosim Aleim. The Gemara learns that from a Pasuk. That only when he wears the Begadim does he have a Kedushas Kuna. If he does the Avodah and is not wearing the Bigdei Kuna, so it's like a Zar, Ein Kunosim Aleim. What do you mean it's like a Zar? But he's not allowed to marry a Grusha. The Kohanim today, they get their first Aliyah, they do Pidyon HaBen, they Duchen. They're not allowed to go to the cemetery. What do you mean? They're not wearing big dekuna? So everything should be mutter. So the answer is, there are two levels of kedushas kuna. There's kedushas kuna shebamigdosh and kedushas kuna shebigvulin. So in order to acquire the kedushas kuna shebamigdosh, for that you need big day malay. If you don't have, he's not wearing the begadim, he doesn't have that kedushas kuna. So whenever a kohen comes to the Beis HaMikdash and he wants to put on big dekuna, he's going to be in a salah, he's going to be elevated to a higher level of Kedusha. So whenever a person is interested in acquiring higher level of Kedusha, the halacha requires he has to go to mikveh. A non-Jew wants to convert, so he has to be toivel in a mikveh. When the Bnei Yisrael, some of them became Kohanim, so they had to go to a mikveh. When part of Bnei Yisrael were chosen as Leviim, they had to go to mikveh. There's halacha, you need tvil in a mikveh in order to raise the level of Kedusha. So the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur puts on begadim five times. So that's why the halacha l'moshe m'sinai requires chamish tvilus. He has to be tovel in the mikveh five times before he puts on the big day zob, then before he puts on the big day lovin, then before he puts on. Every time he takes off the begadim, the level of kedushas kuna is lowered down to the level of kedushas kuna shebigvulin. Then when he wants to put on the second set, the second unit of avodah, the third unit, each time he puts on big day different begadim, so he's going to acquire a higher level of kedushas kuna. He has to be toivel in the mikveh. And then halacha says you have to do kiddush daim raglayim when you put on big dekuna when you take off. So that's why eser tvilas, chamish tvilas v'asar kiddushin tovik kohen gadol amekadosh bo bayom. So that the Gemara said that's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So that's Rav Velvela Soloveitchik points out based on the Melchamas, based on the Loshon HaRamban Melchamas, that if the kohen gadol will do the avodah the way it's described in the Chumash, it'll be kosher. It's not called Shaloi El HaSeda. He will just not have fulfilled that halacha Moshe Mitzrayim of Chamish Tvilas Vasari Kiddushin, but it won't affect Avod. So the more correct way to do it is to do Big Day Zav, Big Day Lavan, Big Day Zav, Big Day Lavan. To divide it up into five units. The Gemara says in the end of Tainus that two of the jolliest days of the calendar for the Jewish nation were Yom Kippurim and Chamish Asar Ba'av. So the Gemara says, Bishleima Yom Kippurim, we understand what are we celebrating? Kabbalas HaTorah, because Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Lucha Shnias. And it's a day of Mechilas Avonis, but what's the big simcha about Chamish Asar Ba'av? So the Gemara gives a whole arichas what it's all about. So the Gemara seems to say there, the end of Tainus, that Yom Kippur is a holiday to celebrate Kabbalah Satara. But we're all familiar with Shavuot. Shavuot is a holiday to celebrate Yom Matan Torah Seinu. It's Mam Matan Torah Seinu. So why do we need two holidays to celebrate Kabbalah Satara? So the Beis Halevi writes in his drushes, and Rav Shlomo Levilner writes this. Beis Halevi has a very long arichas on this, that you need two Yamim Tevim because there are two parts to the Torah. It's the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. The original plan was that there's only going to be a Torah Shebichsav. There won't be any need for a Torah Shebal Peh. We would be able to look onto the Luchas and everything would appear on the Luchas. Not only the Aseres Adibras, everything the Luchas Rishonis had everything, and they'd be able to read in between the lines and figure out all the answers to everything. And after the Chet HaEgel, so Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the Luchas, then the Luchas Shnias only had the Aseres Adibras. They didn't have Kol HaTorah Kula, and then it was necessary for the Ribbono Shel Olam to give a Torah Shebal Peh. That's what the Beis Halevi has a long arichas. The original plan was everything was going to be Torah Shebichsav, and after the Chet HaEgel, the plan had to be changed, and it gives you all arichas from Midrashim why it had to be changed. So the Beis Halevi explains that's why we have two different Yamim Tevim. Shavuos was the original plan. So Shavuos is Man Matan Torah Seinu, we celebrate Kabbalah Satar of Torah Shebichsav. But then, after the Chet HaEgel, then Hashem forgave the Jewish people on Yom HaKippurim. And then Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Lucha Shnias. So when he came down with the Lucha Shnias, that was the beginning of the institution of the Torah Shebal Peh. So Yom HaKippurim is the day in which we celebrate Kabbalah's Torah Shebal Peh. So Rav Soloveitchik said, maybe that's why the Chumash B'davka put the Pasuk Psukim out of order. Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is a day of Kabbalah's Torah Shebal Peh. He wanted us to realize without Torah Shebal Peh, he won't be doing the Avodah properly. Kola parshu kula ksuva la seder chutz min amikra hazeh. Pasuk chav gimel is out of order. Yom Kippur is the antif of Kabbalah's Torah Shebal Peh. So without Torah Shebal Peh, he won't do the Avodah properly. He's supposed to divide it into five units, not only three. Yeah.
And what was different when Moshe Miru wrote
Shavuos. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was writing Parshias the whole time of the Midbar. The Torah Shebichsav was given in three different nuschos. The Gemara points out. The Gemara in the first page of Chagiga says that the whole Torah Shebichsav was given three times. At Har Sinai was one text, then in Oel Moed was the second text, then in Arvis Moed was the third text, then at the end of the Aboyim Shana, so the Ribbono Shel Olam told Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah as we have it today is a composite of three different texts, all three dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, word for word and letter for letter. And at the end of the Aboyim Shana on the Midbar, so the Ribbono Shel Olam said, when you get to this, then use text A, when you get to that, then use text B, when you get to this, then use text C. The Gemara has a whole machlokes HaTanaim, a whole sugya in the first paragraph of Chagiga. What was the significance of having three different texts? So half of the Tanaim were of the opinion that the first text of the whole Torah Shebichsav, when it was given Har Sinai, didn't give all the details. And the second text sometimes had more details, and the third text sometimes had more details. So whenever the first text was incomplete, the Baruch Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, use the second text from Oel Moed. Whenever the second text was incomplete, then he told him to use the third text that was given in Arvis Moed. That had everything. The popularly accepted opinion is Rabbi Akiva's opinion. That's the one that Rashi quotes at the beginning of Parshas Behar. Vayin Shmita Etzel Har Sinai. Rashi quotes Rabbi Akiva. Everything was given the first time. Har Sinai was the first text that was given. The Chazal Sikas that says, V'davasham Moshe Behar Sinai Lema. V'davasham Moshe Me'ol Moed Lema. So the Gemara says, you see that the Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu three different times. So the more popularly accepted opinion is Rabbi Akiva's, that the first nusach of the Torah Shebichsav that was dictated at Har Sinai before Moshe Rabbeinu came down, the whole Torah was dictated, had all the details. And then the second time had all the details also, and the third time had all the details also. So why did Rabbi Shalom change the nusach to the second and the third? We don't know. The Gemara doesn't explain why. Gemara doesn't explain. That's what the Chazon Ish points out. He just has the Chazon Ish has the way the Sefer is printed in Chelek Arachayim. So he has by Hilcha Shavuos. After Pesach comes Shavuos, and then Tisha B'Av and so on. So the Chazon Ish has by Shavuos Seder Nesinas HaTorah. How was the Torah given to Moshe Rabbeinu? How did Moshe Rabbeinu give the Torah to Bnei Yisrael? So he points out this Gemara Chagiga that people never pay attention. The Chumash is a composite of three different texts. All three were dictated by Kodesh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word and letter for letter, Torah Min HaShemayim. But the three different texts, and it's a composite. Sometimes Baruch Shalom told him to use text A, sometimes text B, sometimes text C, and it's unclear exactly why there were three texts. Bishleim Le Rebbe Shmuel, according to that group of Tanaim, we know why. Second text was more complete than the first, and the third text, and with respect to certain mitzvahs, was more complete than the second. But the way we usually assume, like Rabbi Akiva, that each one of the three texts had every single din, klal lasev, prat lasev, dik tukel. So what was the meaning of three texts? We don't know. The Gemara doesn't explain. So you have the Seder HaAvodah on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says that a chelik of the Seder HaAvodah Yom Kippur is that Kain Godel has to lain from the Chumash, the Seder HaAvodah. When you make a paraduma also, a chelik of Asiyas HaPorah is to lain the Parsha of Asiyas HaPorah. And the Shmini Limiluim also, the Gemara says, a chelik of the Hakrovus, special Hakrovus HaKrabonus and Shmini Limiluim, was to lay in the parsha that deals with the special karbonas. That's what the Or HaShulchan, some other poskim want to say. The Rishonim say that parshas parah is deraisa. What parshas parah? When parshas parah? Parshas parah deraisa. Parshas parah is to serve as an announcement. Pesach is coming. Everybody better become tahor in order to be able to participate in karbonas. Why should parshas parah be deraisa? So that's what some achrayim have this suggestion. When you're making a paraduma, that you should learn Parshas Parah in conjunction with paraduma, that's a deraisa. It doesn't mean Parshas Parah by us is deraisa. That's a beferish gemara. Parshas Parah is deraisa. When you every 150 years bisman b'sheni, when they made a paraduma, so they had a lane the Parshas Parah, like every Yom Kippur can go to had a lane Kriyas HaTorah. This adin deraisa. Usually we assume Kriyas HaTorah is only the Rabbana. This Kriyas HaTorah of Hakel. The Melech lains Hakel on Chalamoid, the first day Chalamoid Sukkot, following Shnas HaShmita, and they can go to lains Parshas HaChemos. The Gemara says this is a Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa, and the Mishnah draws a contrast between these two Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa and every other Kriyas HaTorah. Let's say a person gets an Aliyah, and he doesn't know how to say the Brocha in Hebrew, so he wants to say the Brocha in English. So the Mishnah says Elin Amar Mecholoshim, you can say a Brocha in English also. But the Melech, when he lains Hakel and the Kain Godel on Yom Kippur, when he lains, Mishnah says, has to be Beloshen HaKodesh, has to recite the Birchas HaTorah, Beloshen HaKodesh. But it's a difference, it's a more important Kriya, it's a Din Kriyas HaTorah there, I see. Then the Chumash has, right after the Seder HaAvodah of Yom Kippurim, the Chumash has the Din of Shechet Bachutz and Mala Bachutz, that's next to the last Perek in Zvachim. I think Perek Yud Gimel. Zvachim has 14 prokim. So the next to the last Perek is HaShechet VaHamala. One of those Shchut Echutz, if you shech the Korban in America, anywhere outside of Beis HaMikdash, Yechayv Koris, and if, let's say, they shechted the Korban in the Beis HaMikdash, and then instead of burning the Emurim on the Mizbech, in the Azara, the fellow makes a Mizbech Chutz to Beis HaMikdash, and he burns it there, that's Mala Bachutz. So there's a separate lav on Shechet Bachutz and a separate lav on Mala Bachutz. And if a person did both, a Shechet v'amala Bachutz, he'll get twice Malkus if he did it b'mezit, and if he did it b'shegik, he'll be chayv tu chatoes, because the Shemus machlokim, the different isurim. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim, not every avodah. Most of the avodahs, if you do Bachutz, you're not chayv kores, only Shechet v'amala. In Zorikas Adam, the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, is also an Issa. But the pasuk in Chumash only speaks about the Shechet v'Hamala. And the parsha has the din of Kisoy Hadam. We have behema chai v'yoifa, three different types of animals. Let's say shchita, by behema v'chai you have to shecht the kona and the veshet. Rav kona, rav veshet. By off you only have to shecht either the kona or the veshet. Simen echod. So here the Chumash has a din that only applies to chai v'yoif, does not apply to behema. Behema doesn't have a din of kisei adam, only chai v'yoif have a din of kisei adam. The shofach is domo, the chisohu be'ofer, you have to have be'ofer, offer l'mayla v'ofer l'mato. Sometimes you have a din that only applies to behema, doesn't apply to chai. We spoke about chelev. Chelev chai is mutter. Chelev oif is mutter. Only chelev behema is awesome. Different dinim. Ki nefesh kol bosa doma benafshahu. The reason why you need kisei adam, because the dam represents the nefesh. The Pashto says that the Tanoim have understood that the blood circulation is the definition of life, and when the blood stops circulating, that's the definition of death. We live in a generation where there's a whole pilpul. How do you determine the moment of death? So everybody has their own shita, but the Tanakh has it also tied to a shita. So the Tanoim understood from Tanakh, the Gemara all over says like this, no question about it, that the blood circulation is the definition of life and death. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva before the whole hullabaloo began about the definition of life and death. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, can a person fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin if he puts tefillin on a paralyzed arm, if the left arm is paralyzed? Rav Moshe says, absolutely yes. How does he know? Because his father suffered a stroke before he died, and his father's left arm was paralyzed, and he continued to wear tefillin on the left arm for a half a year, whatever, until he died. So Rav Moshe says he thinks that this is only true if the arm is paralyzed, but if there's no blood circulating, then he quotes a Gemara in Pchoras that's called the dead arm. The arm is dead, and it's already decaying while it's attached to the body. If you have a limb and the body is not being supplied with blood, so that's considered a dead limb. But if the limb is being supplied with blood, the only thing is that the nervous system doesn't function. Paralyzed, so that's still considered alive. So that's a definition of life and death in any given organ. You want to know whether the left arm is alive or dead. Then if you want to know about whether the whole organism is alive or dead, so that's determined also by the blood circulation. Yeah. If you have, let's say, the blood stopped circulating to the 10 fingers and to the 10 toes, there are people who unfortunately live without fingers and toes. Let's say there's no blood circulation in the ears. I don't know. Certain parts of my people can live without those organs. Those are not vital organs. When you're talking about determining whether the whole person is alive or dead, the whole organism, you have to talk about, Rav Moshe has a tshuva about that too. You have to talk about Eivarim Shanashama Tluya Behem. The Tanoim talk about that in different places. Vital organs, as opposed to the arms and the legs, which are not the vital organs. So then the question is, when the blood is no longer being supplied to the vital organs in an irreversible fashion, let's say you tie a tourniquet, you prevent the blood from circulating, you hold the person like this and the blood's not circulating to his head, let's say, but that, if you only do it for a few seconds, so then the fact that there's no blood being supplied to the vital organs, to the brain, is reversible. It's going to be changed. If the blood is not being supplied to the vital organs in an irreversible fashion, so then you consider the person or the organism, the whole person, the whole animal as being dead. So that's the question. How many of the vital organs have to be dead to declare that the person is dead? Do you say any one of them? If the blood stops circulating to any one of the vital organs, because they need all the vital organs to be alive, or do you say you need all the vital organs should be dead, or you say ruba kukuloi? So that's room to negotiate. That's not clear. But all the other pilpulim that people are giving, Amamish, that's not what it says in the Gemara, not what it says in Tanakh. In Tanakh, the Halacha says that the definition of life and death of organs, and the definition of life and death in a whole organism, a whole animal, a balchai, depends on the blood circulation. Ki adam hu anefesh. And there's a difficult pasuk. The person becomes tamei. What do you mean? A treifa is matame. A nevela, And Nevela means an animal is dead, it didn't have Shechita. Trefa means he did do Shechita, but the animal has a certain disease. Shechita's Trefa is Metarmide Nevela. So what do you mean? The Pasuk says, whoever eats Nevela, Trefa. What do you mean, whoever eats? Kol Namashesh, Shetuch Nevela, Trefa. The Tumah is only by Nevela, not by Trefa. And the Tumah doesn't depend on Tuchel. It's a Nevela is Metarmide B'magam and Masav. We had already Psukim before. What kind of a lotion is this Tuchel? As Rashi quotes from the Gemara, from the Tanoim, this pasuk is talking about Nivla Seif Tohar, Metame Abes Ablio. A Nivla's Behema is Metame B'maga B'masa. And if you put a Nivla's Behema in your mouth, that's Maga Beis HaStorm, is not Metame. But if you have Nivla Seif Tohar, Oif Tame is not Metame at all. If you have Nivla Seif Tohar, so then it's Metame B'Beis Ablio, only when you swallow it. When you touch it, it's not Metame. When you put it in your mouth, it's not Metame, only when you swallow it. So the pasuk says, nevela in an animal that has a trefa. If it's an oif tahar, an oif tame, there's no parsha of trefa at all. It's irrelevant. But if you have an oif tahar where there is a din of a trefa and ikshera, so then if you swallow then a nibla soif tahar, it's metame abes abliya. Special din, it's a yotze min haklal, it's a chiddush. Normally, maga beis hastarim doesn't count. And here it's only maga beis hastarim, only if it touches on the throat as he's swallowing it. Rabbi Yosef Engel has an essay in the Sefer, Aswan Deraisa. He quotes, there are three opinions in the Rishonim. What's the nature of the din over here? What kind of halacha is this? Is this an exception to the rule that Maga Beis HaStorm is Metame? Only Maga Beis HaStorm, only if it touches the Beis Ablia. Beis Ablia is the throat where you swallow down. Or maybe it should be a din that Achila is Metame. Kol Nefesh HaShatuch HaNeveilu Trefa. That Rab Chaim has in the Sefer. Rab Chaim has the same in the Sefer on the Rambam, that that's a machloikas. Shaila and Tanoim. He shows the machlokes between the Gemara and the Sifro, whether Achila is Metame or Maga Beis HaStorm. That Afkamina is Achila is if you eat Kazayas Turka de Achila's Pras, it's been starved to an Achila. So if you hold that the Achila is Metame, so if he swallows a half a Kazayas of Nivlas of Torah now, and he swallows another half a Kazayas of Nivlas of Torah later, Turka de Achila's Pras, that'll be starved to be considered one big Achila. But if you hold that it's not the achila is metame, it's the maga beis hastorim is metame. So if you swallow a half a gezais now, a half a gezais later, there was no maga now, there was no maga later. You can't be mitzarf bezachas. Maga, you have to have the full shiur b'masachas. So Rab Chaim and Rab Yosef Engel point out that this is a machlekes satanoim. Then Rab Yosef Engel points out there's a tesis in Sanhedrin, the end of the first parak, but tesis says neither of the above. It's not maga and it's not achila. It's masa beis hastorim. That'll happen afkemina. If it's achila or it's maga, then if he wraps up the food in non-edible wrapping and he swallows it, so then it's not called achila. Korcha b'siv, the Gemara said in the end of Pesachim, is not called achila. It's not called maga either. If he wraps it up with some other item, non-edible item, so it's not an achila, and it's not called maga either. But if you hold that it's masa beis hastorim, that's why Tosfos writes masa beis hastorim. So masa doesn't require achila. Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes that's a chiddush. The loshen atos at the end of the first parak in Sanhedrin is that it's maga masa beis hastorim. So the three logical possibilities say regarding this chiddush din of nivla seif toher metame beis abli is it b'toras maga or b'toras masa or b'toras achila. Then the Torah has the whole parsha of Arayas. Parsha of Arayas is introduced with the din that we should observe these dinim. Shmartem eschul kasavis meshtar shi'asa asum adam v'chavahem. So the Gemara has at the end of Yuma the whole sugi that pikuach nefesh is decha kala Torah kula, except for the gimel averus achamuris when you say yehorig val yaver. So the Gemara has different tanoim. Each tan has a different mocker to establish the institution of Pikuach Nefesh Decha Kala Tarkula. We don't follow any of them. We follow Shmuel's drosha. V'chai b'hem elosh yamas b'hem. The Tanoim didn't say that. That was the Amora said like that. The Amora said that hits the spot. The drosha of Shmuel is better than all the droshas of the Tanoim. We accept his drosha. So it's interesting. This parsha, v'chai b'hem, this is the introduction to the parsha of Gilei Arayis. In Gilei Arayis, there is no din of Pikuach Nefesh. It dafka does not go. Shmatam is chukas. Ivis mishpatai goes on the other chukim and mishpatim of the Torah, but not on Arayas. On Arayas, there's no kula of v'chai b'hem elosh yamas b'hem. There's no din of pikuach nefesh.
Why does v'chai b'hem imply even a second?
That's what the Gemara understands. That's what the Tosis in the end of the first Perek in Ksubas just come. Abraham sounds like, in all I find him, the end result has to be that for sure the guy's going to survive. All the other drushes to indicate that the Tanaim had to indicate that Bikoch Nefesh is Dechakola Tarkula, one could have argued the point and said that all the other drushes only applied to Vadai Pikoch Nefesh, not to Sufik. Somehow this one has the connotation, the end result should be to make sure that that the fellow's alive. That's how the Tanoim understood. Under all circumstances, even a Sfek Sveke of a Pikoch Nefesh. Right, that's a big machlokes harishonim. Whether you say karka olam is a kula to be makel on yehorig val yavar by arayis, that's two opinions in Tosfos. Shaila and Shulchan Aruch is not clear in Shulchan Aruch. There's a contradiction in Shulchan Aruch how we paskan on that. That's a shaila and din. Yeah. So the Torah gives the whole list of arayis. It's repeated twice. First in Achrimos, then in Kedoshim. In Achrimos, you just have the prohibitions. With the pasuk that sums it up at the end, that whoever violates any of this is chayv kores. And then in Kedoshim, everything is repeated, and it tells you what oinash misa you get. Some of the arayas are repeated, and we don't know in Parshas Kedoshim, and there's no misa. So that there's kores we know already from Parshas Achrimos, and that there's a lavud malkus we also already know from Parshas Achrimos. So that's what the Tosfos on the first daf in Yevamos quotes the Yerushalmi that discusses there are three arayos that we repeated for no good reason. So the Bavli with Yerushalmi work on it. The Bavli only works on one. Achosa, why was Achosa repeated? Achosa only has Malkus and Kares. So what's added in Parshas Kedoshim that you didn't know for Parshas Achrimos? And Yerushalmi discusses an additional two arayos that we don't know exactly why they were repeated. What's exactly the din of arayos? Let's say if a kohen marries a grusha, Yisrael marries a mamzeres, that's a suri bir. That's not called arayis. Arayis, we assume, is only where there's an isa kores. If there's no isa kores, we don't say arayis. L'maynaf kemina fe yehorek val yavar. Rabbi Kivega points this out in Simen Kuf Nun Zayin in Yeridea. That's the simen of yehorek val yavar. Rabbi Kivega quotes from the Achrenim like that, that you only apply yehorek val yavar if they threaten to kill me, I have to give up my life, rather than to violate gil arayis, whether it's an isa kores. But if it's not, if it's an isa lab, a koyim bigrusha, Yisrael b'mamzeres, that's called isuri bia, that's not called gili arayis. We usually follow Shimon HaTimoni, or Shimon HaTimni, whatever his name was, the Tana, and Yevam is daf memtes, that the vlad is only a mamzer from chayvi krisis. If a koyim marries a grusha, or Yisrael marries a mitzri, a doimi, or a moini, mayovi, an isaresei, by the mitzvah v'adai, may I say a lav, by the Israelis marries a mayavi, a money mayavi, there's an isa lav there, so the vlad will not be a mamzer. Mamzeris is only when you have arayis. The same as yehorek val yavar. Regarding nida, that's a big machlokes harishonim. Nida has an isa karis, but not every isa karis is called gil arayis. If you eat on Yom Kippur, there's an isa karis. If you eat chametz b'pesach, there's an isa karis. That's not called Gili Arayis. Not every chorus is Gili Arayis. It's Gili Arayis if it's an Isa Bia with chorus. So that's the question. What about Anida? Can you say that Anida, she goes to Mikvah, she'll be Moter. She didn't go to Mikvah, she's Asura. Is that called Gili Arayis? But he say, no, it's an Isa Bia with an Isa chorus. So that's a big machlokes. The Rambam writes several times, Nida Bechlal Ha'arayis. The Rambam sounds like he holds Anida is Arayis and would say, you would say Yehorek Val Yavar. The Ramban and the Tshuva, that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Yerideya. The Tshuva says Ramban also assumes that Nida is called Gili Arayis. And there are Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer Yosha, we learned Yevamos last year. So the first daf in Yevamos, they quote Rabbeinu Tam, which comes from the Sefer Yosha. Rabbeinu Tam holds that it's not Yehorek Val Yavar. He holds that Nida Labayla is not Gili Arayis. The whole parsha goes Gili Arayis. It means Anisa Bia. I remember when my father-in-law was on his deathbed in the hospital, so one of the doctors came in to check on him. So he asked all the children to leave the room. He asked, who are you? Who are you? There's a daughter, there's a son. And he asked me, I said, I'm a son-in-law, I can stay. So what's the difference for us to go? He was gonna pull up the sheet, and he was afraid my father-in-law was going to be, he didn't have any clothes on. So he said, Pasuk in Chumash, a Jewish doctor, Eres Avicha Lo Yisegale. Literally. You're not allowed to be in the room after undressing if the father's naked. That's ridiculous. Every Savicha goes on. Every Savicha either goes on Eshe Savicha or goes on Mishkav Zacha with Avicha. The Gemara has a machlok in Satan, but it doesn't go. Loisigala doesn't mean to undress Avicha. You're not allowed to undress a father. Let's keep it Aviyem. Let's keep it Aviyem. More Aviyem. Yeah, it's a different thing. But that's not the Pshat and the Pasuk. The Pasuk has, there's a famous, it's like a Karaitic interpretation. Heves Avich Loisigala. There's a famous Karaitic interpretation on the Pasuk. Isha lachoysa lasikach, litzra leho bichayeho. Isha lachoysa lasikach. In Achrimos and in Kedoshim. So it goes, Achos Ishtoi. You're not allowed to marry two sisters if the first one is still alive. If one was married to a woman and she died, then he's allowed to marry the sister. Only litzra leho bichayeh calls man that the first sister is alive. Even if he married the first sister, he divorced her, but she's still alive. He's not allowed to marry the second sister. But once the first sister dies, then he's allowed to marry the second one. So the Karoim had their own interpretation. There is isha lachos alasikach. Doesn't mean that the blood relatives the sister. It means two wives. It's a biblical prohibition. Bigamy is a biblical prohibition. You're not allowed to marry two wives. Ataych. Where do you see that achoisa means like that? So it says by the irias, you should have the irias isha lachoisa. What, they're sisters? They're not sisters. Mean things that look similar. It's called isha lachoisa. So they interpret it like that. So we hold that that's apikursis. That's megala banim atar shalak alocha. That's the Karoim's interpretation of the pasuk. Yeah, there is a din. Who's not allowed to take a second wife? In Madonav Yitan Loisha, I think the Eved Ivri is only the Odon is only allowed to give him one wife. He's not allowed to have a second wife. And the Rambam writes that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to have two wives. The Mishnah says in the beginning of Yuma, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur can't have two wives. The Chepa Bado Bad Beisa Beisa Zuishta and only by Zechut. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur can't have two wives. So the Rambam writes that all year long the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to have two wives. And the Ravid is Masig. On the Rambam, there's a Beferish and Pasuk, Divra Yomim, that there was a Kohen Gadol who had two wives. So what did he do when he came Yom Kippur? According to the Rabbi, he divorced her. So it was for less than a year. So what kind of business is that? So on the bottom of the page, on the Rambam, they point out they don't know what the Ravid is talking about. You look in that Pasuk, Divra Yomim, it says that the Kohen Gadol married someone else off, by Yasi. Not by, it doesn't say he married two wives. He married off two women to someone else. He read Shiduchim for two girls. Not that he married the two girls. He married them off. But anyway, that's the machlokes. The Rambam and the Ravid, the Kohen Gadol all year long. The Rambam holds he's not allowed to be married to two wives all year long, and the Ravid says only on Yom Kippur he's not allowed. And by Eved Ivri, it's a mechilta on the Pasuk. And by Donav Yitan Lo Isha, only one. But all year long is just a cherem de Rabbein Gershon, not to have two wives. I was just last Wednesday, I was at a bris. So the father of the baby was saying, Dvar Torah, so I had to come back to the yeshiva. I had to come back to the yeshiva early. So I had to leave before he got to the punchline. So he was discussing why it is that many of the Rabbonim recommend to the Balabatim today, when the wife has a baby boy, they should not say the Brocha Atoiv Ameitiv. Why not? The Gemara says, Shachonach says, if your wife had Yolda Ishta Zachar, so you say Atoiv Ameitiv, why not? So he said, an Aruch HaShulchan. I don't know, it's very very strange. Aruch HaShulchan somehow sees, he told me afterwards what he said. I wasn't had to leave before he got to the punchline. So he said, the Aruch HaShulchan says, the Loshon HaGemara is, Omru Loi, Yolda Ishtecha Zachar. The two words, Omru Lo, are so crucial. What does it mean, Omru Lo? He's chalashing to have a boy, because he has already 10 daughters, and he's chalashing to have a son every time his wife has another girl and another girl. And finally, Omru Lo, that's the connotation, the words Omru Lo, from outer space. Where do you see that? Omru Lo means they finally told him the good news. His wife finally had a boy. He's so excited, then he says, HaTov HaMeitiv. But the first baby, it's like, hey, what's the big deal? So he's happy that his wife had a child. So you don't say HaTov HaMeitiv then. I don't know, it seems to me very strange. I thought he was going to say something else. That why is it that the Chazal only instituted the bracha b'atayim ha'meitiv if your wife has a boy, not if she has a girl? Because the Gemara says in another place that the world can't exist unless you have boys and girls who marry each other and have children. But fortunate is the man whose children are boys. Ashrei adam shebanav zecharim emayru laladav shebanav nekevus. Unfortunate is the man who has daughters. So what's the difference whether you have sons or daughters? We don't understand what the psychology is over here. So they quote in the name of the Vilna Goyen that that passage in the Gemara only applies before the Cherem of the Rabbeinu Gershom. So a person can have more than one wife. So if you have a son, so your son can marry several wives, he can have more grandchildren. But if you have a daughter, the daughter has there's a limit how many children she can have. So that's why it's preferable to have sons as opposed to daughters, because you'd be able to have many, many more grandchildren. But after the Cherem der Rabbeinu Gershom, it doesn't make a difference whether you have boys or girls. So I thought that's what he was going to say, that after the Cherem der Rabbeinu Gershom, it no longer makes sense that you should only say Atayva Meitiv if your wife has a boy, not if she has a girl. Either you should say Atayva Meitiv even if she has a girl, or you shouldn't say Atayva Meitiv even if she had a boy. But he didn't say that. He said over the Sorech HaShulchan, which I thought was very strange. The Gemara?
The Gemara about Asher Misha, one of Zecharim, isn't a dinin that more mitzvos and mitzvah ve'osa had nothing to do with that?
Maybe. I don't know. It's another interpretation. They quote from the Vilna Goyen, he thought that was the reason why. It's a psychological statement, and the psychology was before the Cherem der Rabbeinu Gershom, people were happier. I didn't live before the Cherem der Rabbeinu Gershom. He's reconstructing history. He's saying before the Rabbeinu Gershom, people were so thrilled when they had a son, because the son would be able to have many more grandchildren, bring the grandfather many more grandchildren. I don't know which is the pshat. Then the Parshas Achrimos concludes with the pasuk Ushmatem is Mishmarti. And the Gemara says in Yivam is Daf Chof Aleph, this has the connotation Asum Mishmeres LeMishmarti. The first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Hey Mamu Shlosha Dvarim, and Sheknes HaGdolim, one of them was Asei Siog LaTorah. So this is the marker for that institution, Asei Siog LaTorah. Asei Siog LaTorah, the Mesillas Yisharim points out, is not only an instruction to the Bez Nagodol, to the Anshe Knes HaGdolah, to the Rabbanim. It's an instruction to Kol Yochid V'Yochid, each and every individual person, based on whatever circumstances you happen to be facing. You're a professor in a university, or you work in a factory, whatever you do. You're a doctor, or you're a lawyer, whatever. So each person has different yetzaharas, different problems based on his circumstances, based on whatever generation he lives in, and based on what country in the world he lives in, so on, based on whether he's a man or a woman. Each person has different nisyanis. So each person has to make siyogim and gedorim for himself. Whatever the Chazal say in the Gemara, that's Dorba Hashava L'chol Nefesh. That's binding on everybody, even if you think that you don't have any, you're not going to fall in. That's binding on everybody. But each person, we shouldn't have the attitude, well, whatever the Chachamim didn't prohibit, I shouldn't add on. No, so the Mesillas Yesharim says, not true. If you need a siyog in your circumstance, so the Torah is speaking to you, Shmatem es Mishmati, Asu Mishmeres le Mishmati, everybody has to make a siyog later. Pasuk uses an expression lo sikirvu lagala serva by the nida. Elisha benidus the moso lo sikra bagala servosa. So the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Mishnah Torah quotes from the Sifro, from the Tanoim, that this refers to kiruv basar, to hug and kiss, and isha nida and eshusish is also an isa. The Rambam holds that that's an isa deraisa. Rambam understands that this is a drosha gemura deraisa. The Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvah disagrees with the Ram. He thinks that the Tanoim only intended it as an asmachtam, the Rabbanon. It's not an Issa deraisa. The Achrayim quote that the Ovis the Ram Nosson has a comment on the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Ovis, Asei Siog LaTorah. So the Ovis the Ram Nosson elaborates on all the Tanoim, every Mishnah in Pirkei Ovis. It's like a Tosefta that elaborates on each line in the Mishnah. So the Ovis Rav Nosson has a line, Ezu siog she'osas ha-Torah le'devareha. Where do you find the Chumash that the Torah made a siog deraisa? So the example that's given is that the Nazir, we don't want the Nazir to drink wine, we're afraid he's going to drink wine, so he shouldn't even eat grapes. What, he's going to get drunk from grapes? What's going to happen? What's the mile of abstaining from grapes? It's a siog deraisa. Don't eat grapes because you may forget and you may start drinking wine. Then the other mashal that's given by the Ovis Rav Nosson is, la'sikavu la'gala serva. One is not allowed to have tashmish with ishtei nida. One is not allowed to be with an eshes ish. So one would think, I'll kiss her, I'll hug her, I'll do whatever I want. We'll do everything but tashmish. So the Torah says, a siyog that the Torah made lidvareha is la sikir v'gilu kiruv basa. So the simple reading of the Avos Torah Nasan is that it's a din derais. Ez yisok she'asa Torah lidvarecho. And the Shulchan Aruch also says like that in Eben Ezer. The Mechaber writes, Mechaber never writes whether you get Malkus. The Rambam writes whether you get Malkus, whether you get Misav. You don't get Malkus. In the days of the Shulchan Aruch, no one was giving any Malkus. So he hardly ever writes that you get Malkus or something. Punct over here, when he quotes this din of Kira Basa, so he says, whoever does this gets Malkus. He wants to imply that he's paskening like the Rambam, that it's an Isa deraisa. In the days of the Beis Yosef, nobody was getting any Malkus. But the Shulchan Aruch paskens like the Rambam, that it's an Isa deraisa. Parshas Kedoshim begins Kedoshim to you. So Rashi quotes Apshat Prushim in Ha'arayas. I attended a bris today. So Rabbi Kahn spoke by the bris. One of the rabbis in Yeshiva made a bris. So Rabbi Kahn was speaking about the Medrash has the expression Elokeim Shalelu Seinei Zimohu Bilam. Convinced the Bnois Moav, he convinced the Moavim they should be Machshel Bnei Yisrael with Znus, and then the Rabbi Shalom will not protect us and he will punish the Jewish people. Elokeim Shalelu, the God of the Jewish people, is Seinei Zimohu. That's what Rashi says, Kedoshim Tiyu Prushim Me'arayas. A person wants to elevate himself to a level of Kedusha, has to be careful not to violate Gilei Arayas. If a person will be careful in this area, he will be elevated in levels of Kedusha. The Ramban adds on, he thinks that that's not all it is. He thinks that it means much more than that. Let's say there's a person who has a desire to be with a woman. So he's married, fine. Yeah, but his wife is a nida, so he's going to marry another woman and make sure that her cycle doesn't correspond to the other one. So every day of the week he'll have a wife. That wife is going to have a cycle. He's going to have three or four wives. And he'll always have one wife who'll be tahira, always be with one wife or another. So the Ramban calls that a novel b'shus ha-tahira. Everything he does is mutter, strictly according to the books it's mutter. But he's not following the spirit of the law. There's a letter of the law, and there's a spirit of the law. Pasuk says, Ruchi asher alecha, dvarei asher samti beficha. Ruchi asher alecha is the spirit of the law, the ruch, and dvarei asher samti beficha is the letter of the law. So we have to go lifnei mishuras adin. In each mitzvah, you have to go lifnei mishuras adin. In order to know what the spirit of the law is, you have to know a lot what the letter of the law is. If people don't understand, if they don't know halachas, how are they going to know what's the spirit of the law? There are those Jewish people, unfortunately, who feel that we live in a generation where women are entitled to equal rights. So just like we perform a bris on a baby boy, we have to perform a brita on a baby girl, and you have to mutilate part of the girl's body. That's lifnei mishuras adin. That's mishugoy. That's not the spirit of the law. It's not the letter of the law. It's not the spirit of the law. You have to know what is the spirit of the law. Someone had a taina to me yesterday. Moshe Rabbeinu Hosef Yamechad Midaitoi. Nadav Avihu lost their lives because they did something by the Kriv Eish Zora Shalot Tziv Hashem. How come Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't punished because Hosef Yamechad Midaitoi? Rabbeinu Shalom told him Maimon Hasina would be on a certain day. Moshe Rabbeinu decided to change it. It'll be a day later. The answer is Moshe Rabbeinu knew the letter of the law. He understood the spirit of the law. And he understood that the whole idea of waiting 3 days, Shloshes Ameyad Bala, is to make hachanas from Maimon Hasina. So the more hachana you do for Dovah Shebikdusha, so the more the Dovah Shebikdusha will have an impact on the person. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought we should make Asay Siog LaTorah, we should go Lefnim Mishor HaSadin, then have another day of Prish, and the Baruch Shalom is Maskim Al Yodai, the Gemara said, Baruch Shalom is Maskim, the Shechina didn't appear until the day that Moshe Rabbeinu recommended. You have to know very well the letter of the law in order to figure out what is the spirit of the law, in order to know where to go, Lifnei Meshuras Adin. You have to know how to go, Lifnei Meshuras Adin. I remember I was once going out of town. I had to go by train to Baltimore. I was going to speak there. So they told me to get off at a certain stop, and they'll pick me up, and then they'll drive. It's a 45-minute drive. So I said, so let me get off at the next stop. So I said, no, the next stop will be an hour and a half drive. I thought the next stop is deeper in, like over here. You take the A train to 181st, and it's a 15-minute walk to Yeshiva. So go to the next stop. No, the next stop is the cloisters. You're not going deeper into Yeshiva University. You're going further away. Next stop after 181st is the cloisters. Some people think they picked up Rabbi Soloveitchik's derech, and they went deeper. I don't know. Some of these people who think they went deeper, I think they went miles away. It's not deeper. You have to know the letter of the law very well in order to know what the spirit of the law is, to know, are you really going lifnei mishuras adin? Are you fulfilling the spirit of the law? So that's what the Ramban says, a novel b'shus ha-Torah. That's what the Pasuk speaks of. Kedoshim tiyu. Should all go lifnei mishuras ha-din. Some of the Rishonim count the mitzvah of ha-idat alahem ha-saderach ha-shielcho bav ha-samais ha-sher ya-asun. So the Gemara in Bav Metzia later, Daf Lamed, I think, the Gemara says, learns out from that Pasuk that there's an obligation to go lifnei mishuras ha-din. So some Rishonim count it as an independent mitzvah to go lifnei mishuras ha-din. Lifnei mishuras ha-din, not so easy. You have to figure out Layam Haaretz Chosid. Chosid is the one who goes lifnei mishuras ha-din. You have to be a Talmid Chacham to know when lifnei mishuras ha-din fits in, when it doesn't fit in. Torah has the mitzvah of Moira Aviyim, Ishim of Yaviv Tiro, the Gemara in Kiddush in the end of the first perek, as well as in Shulchan Aruch and Yerideya. The Gemara quotes the two dinim of Kibud Aviyim and Moira Aviyim. These are two different mitzvahs. Ezu Kibud Ve'ezu Moira, what constitutes Kibud, what constitutes Moira. So we usually assume that Kibud means respect. So the Gemara says wrong. Kibud means service. To be Mechavi Kibud Aviyim means Machil, Mashke. My father needs a ride somewhere, so I should ride him. I should drive him there. My mother wants me to throw the garbage out. She wants me to go shopping for her, to give service to the parents, to carry the luggage. That's kibud. Kibud means to give service to the parents. Machila, mashkeya, manila, marchitzo, sochai, to help them out physically. And then moira means what we call kovet, to show respect to the parents, not to refer to them by their first name, and to stand up when they walk into the room. That's in order to show respect. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, when he quotes the din of Moira, is very strange. The Rambam says you have to have Moira Aviyim, you have to fear your parents like you would fear a gangster who would be going with a gun who can kill you. That's the pshat, very strange. We usually don't assume like that Rambam. The Brisker Rav in the Shur Man Zvachim, the beginning of the second parak, makes a whole, he likes that Rambam. I don't know what that Rambam means. Rav Soloveitchik always assumed that it doesn't mean like the Rambam. It's a very strange Rambam. Moir Aviyah means you have to fear your parents like you fear one who has a gangster who can kill you with a revolver. Anyway, it's a din that's noig afilu bizman hazeh. People don't realize. Kibud Aviyah is one of the few mitzvahs that's noig bizman hazeh, din der aisa. After the parents die, then the children realize they didn't do Kibud Aviyim, so then they feel guilty. So they spend a fortune of money on the coffin and on the burial spot. More important is to do the Kibud Aviyim while the parents are alive. The Gemara has a lashon mechabda mechay mechabda lachamoisai. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out how mechabda means kibud means service. How can you give kibud after the parent? You can't give service. You can do moira. You can show respect for the parents after they die. Where do you have kibud? After the Dats, he thought that the Loshana Gemara was Lav Dafke, Mechabda Lachamos. It means Moira, Moira Lachamos. But Kibud Lachamos, how can you have? I thought maybe what it means is like this, that Beis Yosef, in the end of Yerideya, Simen Shin Ayin Vav, quotes from the Zohar, that if a person died and he's a Rasha, he says he's going to suffer in Gehenna. But if his children say Kaddish, his children daven for an Amid, so this will be put to the parents from Gehenna. So that's service. Yes, by the children observing Torah mitzvahs, that's a schus for the parents. The Gemara says, bro mezaka abba. Abba lo mezaka bro. The children are an extension of the parents. Any mitzvahs of ma'isim teirin that the children do, it will be counted, will be considered a schus for the parents, for the grandparents. And that's bro mezaka abba. Whatever mitzvahs the child does are considered a schus for the parents. Abba lo mezaka bro. Let's say a child dies, and the father feels bad, so he wants to be mezakeh the child. So the father is going to say kaddish. Father is going to daven for an omid. It's not going to help. The father is not an extension of the children. Children are an extension of the parents. Grandchildren are an extension of the grandparents. So the Zohar says when the child recites kaddish, after a parent dies, so he's paid to the parents from Gehenim, Shaito Apalgo. That's what it says. Paid to the parents. So that's like carrying a suitcase for the parents. That's like helping them out. So that they shouldn't suffer in Gehenim. If one is concerned that the parents may be suffering again, so he says Kaddish, or he does mitzvahs, or he gives tzedakah, zeichah nishmasam, so there he's lightening their burden. They won't be suffering that much again. So that maybe that's what it means, mechabda lachamos. Rav Soloveitchik said it probably means moira. You have to have not only moira while the parents are alive, you have to have moira after they die also. Torah has blends in dinim bin adam amakim bin adam machaver. Everything blending in together. We have to observe everything. There are some Jews who only observe bin adam lamakim. They're not interested bin adam machaver. They treat other people like dirt. Other people observe only bin adam machaver. They don't observe bin adam lamakim. We're supposed to observe everything together. We're supposed to have everything blended in. One pasuk after the other. Bin adam lamakim bin adam machaver. It's striking. The beginning of Kedoshim, everything is blended in together. The pasuk says, "Losik kalel cheresh." You're not even allowed to curse a deaf person who doesn't hear you. Kalvachamim, you're not allowed to curse a person who hears you, and you hurt his feelings. He feels very upset about it. So we pointed out that the Rambam counts this lav twice. Losik kalel cheresh. One who curses mekalel adam Yisrael, one who curses a parent. One who curses a parent is punished with Einish Misa, and one who curses Adam Yisrael only gets Malkus. Because the Einish is different, here it's Malkus, here it's Misa, this led the Rambam to understand that it's two separate Lavim. So the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvos asks on the Rambam that he contradicts himself. The Rambam says that the Bahag made a mistake. The Bahag counts Loisinov three times. He says, an Eish Sish is not allowed to be Mezaneh because she'll get Chenek. And a Naira HaMurasa is not allowed to be Mizana, she'll get Skila. And a Baskayin who's married is not allowed to be Mizana, she'll get Sreifa. So since the three different punishments, one is Chenek, and one is Skila, and one is Sreifa, so that shows that they're three different Averis. So the Rambam argues just because of three different punishments, but it's all the same thing. An Eshes Ish is not allowed to be Mizana. It's only one Pasuk. How can you count one Pasuk three times? So the Rambam makes fun of the Halachas Gedolos. Why count the Losin of three times? The Ramban asks, but the Rambam himself counts this Lav twice. Because here it's Malkus and here it's Misa. So you see the Rambam himself says like that, because the two different onshim he counted twice. And the same thing, Maka Adam Yisrael, if you hit someone, so that one is over on the lav, it says when the Shliach Bezdin has to administer Malkus, it says, Lo Yosef, Lahakosa, Pen Yosef, Lahakosa, Maka Rabba, Leila, Menikla, Chicha, Leinecha. So you have the love, Yosef Pen Yosef. You're not even allowed to give an extra hakor to a person who deserves Malkus. The Bezin said, give him 21 Malkus. You're not allowed to give 22. The Bezin says, give him three times Malkus. Give him a fourth Malkus. You're even allowed, even though he deserves Malkus. Yosef Lakoso, you're not allowed to hit him extra. So even a sinner who deserves Malkus, you're not allowed to hit him. Kabuchayim, anybody else. The Rambam counts that love also twice. Maka Avivima gets Misa, Maka Adam Yisrael gets Malkus or Pays, sometimes Pays, sometimes gets Malkus. So because sometimes Maka Adam Yisrael gets Malkus and sometimes gets Misa by Maka Avivima, so he counts it as two love. So the Ramban says, didn't the Rambam contradict himself? So in the standard, the commentary on the side of the page, the Megillah Esther comes to defend the Rambam. He says it's not the same. The Baha counted Lysinov three times, at all three times there's Misa. Either the skila by the Nara Hamarasa, or the Sreifa by the Baskan Shezinsa, or the Schenik by the Eshesish, the Nesua Shezinsa. So Atzara Shav Shaban is Misa, so that's when the Yisura Machamura. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchas Tshuva, divides all of the Lavim in the Torah, the Yisurim Kalim and Yisurim Chamurim, and the difference for Abon Chiluke Kapara. So the Lav of Lesekalacher sometimes gets Malka, sometimes gets Misa. So that's an androgynous. How can it be? Is it an Iser Chomer or is it an Iser Kal? If it gets Malkus, it means it's when the Kalois. If you get Misa, it means when the Isurim Achamurim. So which is it? So that led the Rambam to understand that the Tanaim had a tradition that you can't lose Kal Cheresh twice. If sometimes Malkus, sometimes Misa, so when it gets Malkus, it's when the Isurim Hakalim. When it gets Misa, it's when the Isurim Achamurim. So it has to be counted as two Lavim. But otherwise, the Rambam's call is that you never count one Pasuk twice. We have also the pasuk in today's Sedrim, Lo Soch Lo Al Adam, later in Kedoshim. Lo Soch Lo Al Adam, and the Gemara has quite a few levels of interpretation on the pasuk. So the Rambam says that only counts as one lav. All the different levels of interpretation. That's Gemara calls that a lav shebechlolos, a lav that includes many prohibitions, many unrelated prohibitions. Let's say it says, Lo Soch Kol Nevela, you're not allowed to eat Nevela. So if you have, let's say, Niblas Behema, Niblas Chaya, Niblas Of. It's all the same thing. L'sech Kol Nevela. It's all Shem Echad. That's not called a Lav Shebichlolos. But L'sech Lal Adam includes totally different prohibitions. Legamri, unrelated to each other. It's not Shem Echad. That's what Taisa says. Whenever it's Shem Echad, it's not called a Lav Shebichlolos. whenever it's Shemus Mechlokin, Losoch Laladam includes totally unrelated Yisurim, then it's called Alav Shebechlolos. And the Gemara says there's no Malkus on Alav Shebechlolos.
Why doesn't the Rambam count Alav Mechamir separate from Shabbos if it counts something where you have the
Onshkis
and something else?
Uh-huh. Are you sure he doesn't count Mechamir as a separate law? You should take a look. I don't know, maybe he does count Mechamir. You take a look in the beginning of Hilchas Shabbos. I don't know. You got to take a look. Yeah, what's included in Losoch Lal Adam? So the Rambam seems to have understood that Lav Shebechlol. The Rambam seems to understand Lav Shebechlol is like Rav Lezer Mimitz. Taisus Simsochem Adav Chavdala quotes Rav Lezer Mimitz. Rav Lezer Mimitz wrote the Sefer Yireim. He was a Talmud of the Rabbi in the Tam. Every so often, Taisus will quote him. So he understands Lav Shebechlol is if you have a pasuk where Pshutul Shal Mikra means one thing. And also included, the Torah Shebaal Peh says that there are additional levels of interpretation that are also included, not lefi pshuta. So the Rav Lezer Mimitz says that's called a lav shebechlolos. On the ikah pshuta shal mikra, you do get malchus. And what gam ken kolol b'haposuk, that's lav shebechlolos. This too is included through the additional levels of interpretation of the Torah Shebaal Peh, and that you're not loike. So the Rambam seems to understand like that in Shorash Tes in the Sefer Mitzvah. He says, Losoch lal adam, the Iker Pshuto Shal Mikra, believe it or not, goes on a Bensor Amore. Losoch l'achila ha-mevi'a l'dei dam. The Bensor Amore eats meat and he drinks wine with a group of hooligan teenagers, his friends. Chabura Shikula Sreken, a bunch of juvenile delinquents. And this achila is going to be maybe l'day dam. What do you mean maybe l'day dam? Either it'll be maybe l'kach that he's going to get the death penalty, or maybe l'day dam he'll become a gangster and he may murder someone else. That's how the Mishnah says. Why do you put the ben saramur to death? Hashem sofo. Sofo holuch malastim esabris. He's going to kill people later on. So yom ezakav yom eschayiv. So the Rambam seems to have understood that that's the pshuto shel mikra. Very surprising. Losoch lal adam goes achila hamevi l'idei dam. The pshuto shel mikra goes on a ben sor amora. And additional levels of interpretation go on other things. So what else does it go on? So the Gemara says it goes Sanhedrin shehargu es hanefesh. Sanhedrin put a person to death, so they're not allowed to eat till the end of the day. That's why the Mishnah says they're going to starve the whole day. So let them eat breakfast. And let him give the Einish Misa late in the afternoon, an hour before the Shkia, so they only have to fast for an hour till the end of the day. They're going to give the Einish Misa bright and early in the morning, so they can't eat the whole day. Losoch lal adam. What else did the Gemara says? You're not allowed to eat Bisar HaKarbonis V'adayim Dam B'mizruk. If you didn't do the Zrikas Adam yet, you're not allowed to eat from the Korban. The Gemara has quite a few levels of interpretation on the Pasuk. Another one is, Losoch lal, you're not allowed to eat before you daven Shachris. That's really a din d'oraisa. So the Meiri says, according to the Rambam, that tefillah b'chol yom is a din d'oraisa. So this seems that the Rambam understood that this is a din d'oraisa. It's an issa d'oraisa not to eat before you daven. But most of the Rishonim agree with the Ramban that tefillah b'chol yom is only the Rabbanan. Tefillah is only d'oraisa be'ez tzara. So how do they understand this drosh in the Gemara? Losoch lal adam. So the Pasha Pshat, it's a din de Rabbanon. It's an asmachta, a din de Rabbanon. And Miri doesn't say that. He says, no, on the level of the Raisa, it means you should not let eat before you say Kriyashma. How does Kriyashma fit in with the word Dam? Davening is, Losochel Karim Shetispalalu Al Dimchem. But how does Kriyashma come in? But that's what the Miri writes. In a few places he writes like that. The end of Bob Metzia, he writes it on the Sugi of Lav Shabbat Lolas. And in Sanhedrin, he writes. Taisus doesn't seem. The Ramban does not agree with the Rambam's definition. Ramban understood that lav shebechlolos ein loikem olov doesn't mean you have pshuto shel mikra and that you do get malchus and whatever is also included through a drasha of Torah Shebaal Peh, an additional level of interpretation, gamzeh kolol, and that there's no malchus. Ramban understood the simple reading of the Gemara. If you have a lav that has different prohibitions included and they're not shem echad, then you don't get malchus on anything. Because not dumi the lav da hasima. You only the pasuk in Chumash Dvarim says you get malchus for violating losachs mishor b'dishoy, and it's the understanding is that any lav that's similar to losachs mishor b'dishoy. So Losach Shem B'dishah is one pasuk with one interpretation, one level of an issa. If you have a pasuk that has several levels of prohibitions, they're all asa, so then there wouldn't be malchus on anything, because not dumi de lab de chasima. But the Rambam does not, the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvah, Shoresh Tes, seems to have understood like Rabbi Elazar Mitz, that the Tosfos and Pesachim quoted. That means he can't give malchus on the additional prohibitions, but on the Pshuto Shal Mikri, he do give malchus. The Torah has the din, lo samar al dam reyecho, not let us stand by idly when someone is losing their life. So the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvah quotes from the Sifro on this pasuk that damim tarti mashma. The word dam sometimes means life, sometimes means moment. So the Rambam quotes from the Sifro, if I see that the river is going to flood my next door neighbor's farm, and I have the ability to prevent it, I have the ability, I should call up the neighbor and warn him, do something to protect it. So that too is included in Allah Samar Adam Reyecha, not to stand by idly if his mammon is being destroyed. So in the beginning of Baba Kama, all of the recent Gedolim all try to fish around, where is there a pasuk in Chumash that there's an Isa Lahazik? We know there's a Chiyuv L'Shalem, if someone is Mazik someone else, you have to pay. But the Gemara says, Grama ben Azikin is pata, but it's asr. The Gemara in Baba Basra says, that is Grama ben Azikin asr, even though you're pata from paying, but you're in violation of an isa. Where is the isa? Where is the same chumash that there's an isa? So Rav Soloveitchik said, here's the pasuk, l'samar adam reyachi, you're not allowed to stand by idly when the flood is going to destroy your next neighbor's farm. Domim tarti mashma. It even goes on property. So certainly if I'm mazik bi'adayim, I certainly am in violation of l'samar adam reyachi. Torah Tmima, the pasuk Lo Sikam Lo Sitar Es Bnei Amecha, quotes a line from the Yerushalmi that it doesn't make sense. Let's say I'm a righty, so when I cut with a knife, I use the right hand. So sometimes you don't realize it. And then when I got married, so they gave me this gigantic challah, and she cut the chos and cuts. I never held such a gigantic challah. So accidentally, I cut one of my fingers on the left hand. So would it make sense that the left hand should take the kama from the right hand? I should slap the right hand. The Yerushalmi says, the two organs of the same organism. You can't take the kama from yourself. It doesn't make sense. So the Torah says we should treat all of Klal Yisrael as one big organism. Lasikam lasita is bnei amecha. We should treat all the other people as if we're all one, as if we're all guf echad. So it doesn't make sense to take the kama from yourself. The Ramban points out there's a difference between v'yahavta l'reyacha with a lamed and v'yahavta es Hashem lakecha es. V'yahavta l'reyacha means you should do, it's not a chovus halavavus, it's a chovus ha'ivarim. You should do actions on behalf of your friends. You should treat their needs as if they're your own needs. You should take care of their needs. But it doesn't really mean you have to develop a love for all the Jews in your heart. That's a chavis halvavis. You have to develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ramban thinks that's the difference between you have to le, means an action done on behalf of the other person, as opposed to the after es is Abba Shebelev. Rabbi Kiva commented, the Medrash quotes, Rabbi Kiva commented, Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. This is the most important klal. After the Reacha Kamoicha, it's such an important klal. That's what everybody asks. We had a guest, Darshan, on Shabbos. He was speaking about that. How can it be that 24,000 students of Rabbi Kiva died in a plague because Lanoga covered Zebezeh? Rabbi Kiva was the one who emphasized so much, after the Reacha Kamoicha, how can it be that his students were the ones who violated that? So the Darshan gave a whole beautiful drasha on the topic. So there's an essay that Rabbi Henkin published many years ago. Rabbi Henkin was the famous Poisek in New York before Rabbi Moshe came on the scene. Rabbi Henkin published an essay. He said in the history books they say that the 24,000 students of Rabbi Kiva were killed by the Romans in the rebellion. Bar Kochba's rebellion against the Roman government. So they didn't die in an epidemic. It wasn't the Menashemim. They were killed by the Romans. Why did the rabbi say, Ashalanog covered Zebizet? So he writes in his essay, the rabbis were afraid to say what the truth was. So they said the most ridiculous line, Ashalanog, everybody knows that that's not what it means. the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva certainly wouldn't know I get covered zevazeh. So they wrote this ridiculous line. That's a code. That's a way of saying in code that they were killed by the Romans in their rebellion. But it's not to be taken literally. That's what he said. That's Rav Henkin said, one of his famous essays. Then the Torah has the parsha of Shivcha Harufa. The Koris Tihil. We distinguish Bikoris Tihil. That the boyel, the man who is mezana with the Shivcha Harufa, has to bring an Osham. And the Shivcha Harufa gets Malkus. So the Osham, Hashem Shivcha Harufa, usually an Osham comes if a person violated Naver B'Shogeg. So the Mishnah has a list of people who bring Alamezit K'Shogeg. So Hashem Shivcha Harufa is one of them. It doesn't make a difference, but he violated this, he violated Loisinov. She's to a certain extent, she's an Eshes Ish. It's Kiddushei Osham. Lo Yimsu Ki Lo Chupasha. You don't give Misa to either of them, because she's not a, she wasn't a baschorin, she wasn't a shtachura. She's still a chetz yeshivcho. So that's only Kiddushi Oshem. It's Ishus Lachatzoin, partial. She's a chatzi Eshes Ish. So that's why you don't get Misa. So the boyel Shivcha Harufa is Chayiv and Oshem, Beim Shegik, Beim Emezit. And she is Chayiv Malkus. So when they say she's Chayiv Malkus, also no difference B'Shegik or B'Mezit. The Pashta says, of course not. Chayiv Malkus, you have to have Edema Hasra. It's only B'Mezit, not B'Shegik. So there's a Pele Dike Rambam. The Dinam of Shivcha Harufa appear in the Mishnah is in the middle of Krisis. So the Rambam is not in the Pirush and Mishnah is on Krisis. Pirush and Mishnah is in the beginning of Maseches Shabbos. There's a line in the Rambam, Pirush and Mishnah is, which he doesn't have anywhere else. He doesn't have it in the Mishnah Torah. He writes there that the Shivcha Harufa gets Malkus Beim Shegik Beim Emezik. We don't distinguish. That's a pellet. That's like a believe it or not, a collector's item. Maybe there's some mistake there. We should look in. I don't know. Should look in Kapach's edition. Maybe a mistake, but that's what it says. There's such a strange thesis on the first daf in Tmura also. The Gemara says in the middle of Tmura later. That Tmura is Beim Shegik Beim Emezid. It doesn't make a difference. A Pashup Shad, Beim Shegik Beim Emezid. Whether you know you're doing wrong or you don't know you're doing wrong, the Tmura will be Chal. Hayahu Smarasa Yakadesh will take effect. So the Taisus has, that's one Pshat. And the first Daf, Beis Amar Alf and Tmura. The Taisus has another Pshat that the one who makes Tmura is Loike Beim Shegik Beim Emezid. Even if he did it B'Shegik and there was no Hasroa, he still gets Malkus. Whoever heard of Malkus B'Shegik? So that's a pella. The Taisus in Tmura is a pella. That the one who's Meimer, the one who makes Tmura, should be like, even though he violated the Avera only B'Shegeg. And the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah is a pella. He says that the Shivcha Harufa should get Malkus, even if it's B'Shegeg. That's really a pella. Then the Torah has the Parsha, Ki Savoy Al Ha'aretz. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, you observe the dinim of Orlo and Revai. The first 3 years, the Peres are Asa Bachila Asa Bahano, and the fourth year, it's Neta Revais. Kiyah Kalpiri Kodesh Ululam, and Hashem is supposed to bring the Peres to Yerushalayim, and needed Bigdusha with Tahara, just like Maisa Sheni. And then the Pasuk uses the word Kodesh Hilulim, Ehei and Eches are almost the same. The only difference is that the Hei doesn't touch the top. And many of the old Sifrei Torah used to have the left leg on the hay did touch the top. So how do you know whether it's a hay or a ches? The ches would be a heavy line on the left line, and the hay would be heavy on the bottom and only a thin line on top. We don't allow that. When we write Sifrei Torah, we don't allow the left leg of the hay to touch the top. We insist it shouldn't touch. But a lot of the old Sifrei Torah had like that. So hay looks practically like a ches. So the Gemara says, sometimes lo mimni rabbanam elidrash. Sometimes the Tanoim will darshan a hey as if it were written a ches, because that's the way the old Sefer Torah were written. A hey looked very much like a ches. The Gemara has a drush in Kodesh Chilulim. Chilulim means to be paida. You have the ability to be paida net revai. Just like there's a din, you can be paida maisa sheni, you can be paida maisa sheni, bring the money to Rishalayim and buy food and eat the food to Kedusha v'tahara. The same is true regarding a net revai. So then the next pasuk says, Bashana Chamisha's Toklas Pirio, the fifth year there's no problem. So the Poshup Shat is, whatever grows the first 3 years is Orlo, Osabachila, Osabano, and it's Ton Srefa. Whatever grows in the fourth year is Kodesh Ilulim, you have to bring it to Rishalayim and eat it, or you pay the yid b'kedusha batar, or you pay the and you take the money to Yerushalayim. Whatever grows in the fifth year is free for all. Muta b'achila, muta b'ano, you don't have to bring it to Yerushalayim. The Rambam quotes that some of the Gaonim misunderstood pshat. Rambam says this is shigegas hayro. In the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam quotes, they made a mistake. What the pasuk means to say is like this: whatever grows in the fourth year, you should bring to Yerushalayim to eat, or you should be poda. And if you're poda, then you're not allowed to eat the peris netarivai until the fifth year. The peris that you were poda, the peris that grew in the fourth year. So you should bring it to Yerushalayim. If you don't want to bother to bring it to Yerushalayim, you want to be poda, so you're not allowed to eat those peris. About shonachamish is tochlos pirio, the peris that grew in the fourth year, you can eat in the fifth year if you were poda them. So the Rambam says it's shigigas hayro. That's not the pshat in the pasuk. Wow, a whopper of a pshat. Where in the world did they get such a wild, crazy pshat from? The Yerushalmi has an opinion like that. The Yerushalmi and Soita. Yerushalmi and Soita, the end of Soita, there's a perek Mashuach Melchama. Has some of the dinim on Melchama. Some of the dinim are in the second perek in Sanhedrin. A lot of dinim on Malchus. Some of the dinim on perek Mashuach Melchama. So the Mashuach Melchama says, Mihu isha she'eris isha v'loy lakocha, Mihu isha she'not tekerem v'loy chilalo. So Yerushalmi discusses a little bit about not the Karen Balochilo, what are the dinim of Netta Revai, about being paid in Netta Revai. So Yerushalmi has such an opinion. So the Rambam says, Shigigas Hayro, he shouldn't, the Gaonim shouldn't have Paskan like that opinion. That's not the accepted opinion. He knows that there's a Yerushalmi like that. But he says, Shigigas Hayro, we don't Paskan like that. So in the Chumash, it only talks about Kisavoya El Ha'oretz, that the dinim of Orla and Netta Revai apply in Eretz Yisrael. What about Orla B'chutzlaret? So the Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Kedushin says that all the agricultural mitzvahs, the mitzvahs of Tlias Baretz, only apply in Eretz Yisrael with a few, very few exceptions. So Chodosh is Noig B'chutzlaret and Orla is Noig B'chutzlaret. So Chodosh B'chutzlaret is a Machlokes HaTanaim, whether it's the Reis or the Rabbanan, Machlokes in the Mishnayos. And Revai B'chutzlaret is a Machlokes in the Gemara. Orla B'chutzlaret is a Machlokes in the Gemara. Whether it's, the Mishnah says, mehalocha. What does the word mehalocha mean? Orla b'chutzlaret. Mehalocha means midirabbanon, or mehalocha means halacha l'moshe m'sina. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara. We usually assume that orla b'chutzlaret is halacha l'moshe m'sina. And then there's a further machlokes on the assumption that orla b'chutzlaret is halacha l'moshe m'sina. What about revai b'chutzlaret? So Tosis assumes that just like orla applies, revai also applies in chutzlaret. And Tosis quotes the Shiltas. Represent. The Shiltas was written in the days of the Gaonim. The author of the Shiltas himself was not from the Gaonim. We call him Rav Achoy Goen. He lived in the period of the Gaonim, but he was not a Goen. The Goen means the president of the rabbinical seminary whose responsibility was to raise the funds. So he was lucky. He was not from the Goenim. He didn't have to raise the funds. He just sat and he learned, and he wrote the Shiltas. He was not the president. Rosh Yeshiva, the full title of was Rosh Yeshiva was Goen Yankiv. The name of the Yeshiva was Goen Yankiv. And the kids said he called them a Gaon. So Rabbi Choy lived in the days of the Gaonim. And he writes, Tosis in Kiddushin and Tosis in Brochus quotes Rabbi Choy, and the Shiltas writes that there's a din of Netter Ravai and Chutz Lortz also. And it tells you he lived in Bavel. And it tells you I have to be paid in the Netter Ravai and Chutz Lortz. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, no, the Halacha Moshe Mesinai is only on Orlo. There never was a Halacha Moshe Mesinai on Netter Revai. Then the Rambam has another dispute with the Gaonim. He quotes, the Gaonim were of the opinion that just like one who eats Orla Beretz Yisrael gets Malkus, because it's a pasuk in the Chumash, Lo Yeochel, Barat Malos says, Pir Shal Shan Mi Yalach HaMareim, Lo Yeochel is a lav, so whoever eats Orla B'chutz Lortz also loike. It's a lav derais. The Rambam says, how can it be loike? Orla B'chutz Lortz is Halach L'Moshe Mesinai. There's no pasuk. Pasuk says Kisavoy al Haaretz. Pasuk only goes about Eretz Yisrael. Ola b'chutz l'aretz is only halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So any yisa that's only known through halacha l'moshe m'sinai can't have any malchus. It's not dumi the lav d'chasima. Lav d'chasima lo sachzom shabadish is written in chumash. If you have an yisa that doesn't appear in chumash, that's not dumi the lav d'chasima. Rashi writes like that in Sanhedrin on Daf Pei Dalet. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Yecheskel that a kohen who never had a bris milah. Either a kohen who's an apikoris, erelev, or erel basar, a kohen who's not gemalt, he never had a bris milah, lo yavol migdashi, he's not allowed to be makir of karbonis. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Yecheskel came up with a new din? we say that a Navi Rishar Lacharish Dov Meyata Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who has to say over all the dinim. No Navi after the days of Moshe Rabbeinu can come up with a new din. So how do we accept this pasuk in Yecheskel? Gemara says no. Ados Yecheskel. It was a tradition of the Torah Shabbat Pei. Yecheskel just recorded what was a tradition. So we assume it was Halacha LeMoshe Misina. So Rashi writes on that Gemara in Pedalit in Sanhedrin that Oral Sha'avad, if a coin is an Oral and it does Avad in Beis HaMikdash, he wouldn't get any Malkus because it's not the Mefurish of Pasuk and Chumash. It's only known through Halacha LeMoshe Misina. So by definition, it's not Dumi Dalab Da Chasima. Dumi Dalab Da Chasima has to be that it's written in the Chumash. And it should either say Hishama Pen Aral. Like it says, Lo Sachsam Shor Bedisha. So anytime it says Hishama Pen Aral, that's sufficiently similar to Lo Sachsam Shor Bedisha. If you have a Lava Bomech Lala say, that's not sufficiently similar. If it's not written at all in Chumash, for sure it's not sufficiently similar to Lo Sachsam Shor Bedisha. So that's the Rambam's taina against the Goyim. How can the Goyim say that one who eats Orla B'chutz L'Ortz is Loike? It's only Halacha Moshe Messina. It's not Dumet Alav Dachasim. So Rab Chaim has a famous essay in his Sefer on the Rambam. Rab Chaim used to learn B'charusa with the Rogatchova when they were young children. So the Rogatchova has the same in his Svarim. That the fundamental machlokes between the Rambam and the Goyim is, what's the nature of this Halacha Moshe Messina? Do you say the Pasuk only goes in Eretz Yisrael, and Halacha Moshe Messina is a separate Issa that Orla is Noig B'chutz L'Ortz? So then it's not Dumi Dalav Dachasima, there's no Malkus. And then the Rambam maybe is right, that Halacha Moshe Messina only said that there's Orla, never said that there's a din of Ravai. Who said there's only Orla B'chutz L'Ortz? Ravai not. And the Goyim understood differently. The Goyim held that the Halacha Moshe Messina reinterprets the Pasuk, Kisavoy Al Ha'aretz and the Taitim Kol Eitz Mechel, doesn't mean to say that the mitzvah is only Noheges Beretz Yisrael. This is the Zman Yoga mitzvah, it's not the Mokam Niyama mitzvah. And the Titan called that's Michael. After you will arrive in Eretz Yisrael, after the Jews will move to Eretz Yisrael, and days of Yeshua ben Nun, and they'll start planting, then the din of Orla applies all over the world. So Orla B'chutz L'Ortz is included in the Pasuk. If you interpret, if you translate Kisavoy Al Ha'aretz, it's not the Mokam Niyoga mitzvah, it's the Zman Yoga mitzvah, that this mitzvah doesn't begin from Maimon Hasin. This mitzvah only begins, when is the Zman Hascholas Niyoga mitzvah, Kisavayu Al-Horetz? But then once you Kisavayu, then the mitzvah applies all over the world. So then Lo Yeyochel is a lab that goes on Orla B'chutz L'Ortz. And then Revai is also B'chutz L'Ortz. Everything goes on Chutz L'Ortz. So there's Malkus, and there would be a din of Revai as well. So that's the Biur, both Rav Chaim and the Rogatchova both gave the same interpretation. The Machlokes, the Rambam and the Goyim is, what's the nature of this Halacha L'Moshe Messina? You have sometimes Halacha HaMefareshes and sometimes Halacha HaMechadeshes. Is this a Halacha L'Moshe Messina Mechadesh a new din? Or Lo B'chutz L'Ortz, a new din? So then there's no Malkus, and it doesn't necessarily follow that there's going to be Revai B'chutz L'Ortz. That's how the Rambam holds. And the Goyim held, no, this is Halacha HaMefareshes. The Halacha L'Moshe Messina interprets that when the Pasuk reads Kisavoy Al Ha'aretz, it's telling you the Zman Nihuga Mitzvah, it's not telling you the Mokam Nihuga Mitzvah. So Soloveitchik pointed out that the Netziv, Rav Chaim married the Netziv's granddaughter, but these ideas are already floating in the air. The Netziv has a tshuva in the Meshev Dover where he discusses what's the nature of the Halacha L'Moshe Messina of Priya. The Gemara says, in the Chumash it only says, when you have a baby, you have to do a bris. So there are two membranes on the Eva HaZachris. The outer membrane is a thick membrane, so that's Mila. You cut off the outer membrane. Then you have Priya. Priya is the thinner membrane that's closer to the Eva. So the Gemara says the mitzvah Priya was not given to Avram Avinu. And it wasn't Noig right away after Maimon HaSinai until they came to Gilgal in the days of Yeshua ben Nun when they crossed over the Yarden. And after Moshe Rabbeinu died, it says, Shuv Molas Bnei Yisrael Shenis. They should do a second bris milah. What do you mean a second bris milah? Whoever had a bris milah, nothing to cut. What is there to do a second bris milah? So the Pashup shot and the Pasuk, one could have said, there was a big national bris milah in Mitzrayim before Korban Pesach. Everybody performed bris milah. Then for 40 years in the Midbar, only Shevet Levi was doing bris milah. The rest of Bnei Yisrael were afraid because the weather conditions were such that it was a little dangerous to perform bris milah, so most of the Shvatim considered it Safek Sakon. Only Shevet Levi did. And then when they came, they crossed over the Yarden, they went to Eretz Yisrael. In Gilgal, Shumalis Bnei Yisrael Shenis. There was a big national bris milah, a big historical second bris milah for the whole Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara does not understand like the Gemara says, Shumalis Bnei Yisrael Shenis. Even the people who had a bris milah had to do a second bris milah. What second bris milah? They had to perform priya. Their priya was not knowing until the days of Yeshua ben Nun. So Tosfos asks in Perek Ha'Oral, in Yevamos, in the beginning of Perek Ha'Oral, on Amud Beis, first Amud Beis. So Tosfos says, what do you mean? Ein Novi Rashal Acharish Dova Me'ato. Another Novi, Yefter Moshe Aben, is not allowed to come up with the new din. Just like the Gemara says, how can Yecheskel HaNovi come up with the new din called Ben Echer? Erelev, Erel Basel, Ayavel Mikdashi L'Shar Sein. How can he come up with a new din? How can Yeshua ben Nun come up with a new din that you need priya? So Tosfos says, just like the Gemara gave the answer by the oral Shoavad, must be the same over here. There must have been a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, that the day will come that they'll have to do priya, but not yet. So then Yeshua ben Nun came and he said, now the day has come. I was told benevuah that now is the time. So the Netziv has a discussion. What if they performed? The Mishnah says, mol v'loi para kilo loi mol. If a mol did the meal, he didn't do the priya, he didn't cut the lower membrane. He only cut the thick membrane on top, didn't cut the lower membrane. So you're not yet to the mitzvah of milah. So when the moel performs the priya, what bracha does he say? Does he say, Shekharasham Sasan ala milah? Let's say he only did milah, he didn't do priya. Then he comes back the next day, he realized that he didn't do the whole job yesterday. He didn't fulfill the mitzvah. So when he cuts off the or ha-priya, does he say the bracha ala milah? Oh no, he says the bracha ala priya. What's the shaila? So the Netziv formulates it. You have a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, Tosfos says that you need priya. Is this a halacha ha-mechadeshes? There's a din of milah and there's a din of priya, two different things. Or should we assume that maybe this halacha l'moshe m'sinai is halacha ha-mefareshes? Maybe the halacha l'moshe m'sinai says that from now on, the definition of milah means gilu ha-torah. It's not enough just to cut off the or ha-orla, the outer skin. If you don't cut off the ora priya, it's literally mol v'lapar kiloi mol. It's not by definition, it's not called mila. So he discusses this shaila. What's the nature of the halacha l'moshe m'sinai? Is it mefarish? Does it come to reinterpret the pshat in mila? The mikanal habo after the days of Gilgal. Mila means to do gilu ha'atora, mila with the priya? Oh, no. Mila means mila, and the priya is a halacha ha'mosefes, halacha ha'mechadeshes. It's an additional halacha. I don't know if that's related. In the days of the Gemara, they used to do them separately. They used to do the Mila first, and then they would do the Priya. And then the Ramah writes that they had a meaning that they would be Mechavit two different Moilim. One Moil would do the Mila, one Moil would do the Priya. And in Yerushalayim, they had a meaning. I don't know if they still had. Years ago, they had a meaning. Even on Shabbos, they would bedafke have two Moilim to demonstrate that the Din is like the Ramah. Chabbos says Shabbos, you should have one Moil. You shouldn't have two people Mechal Shabbos. And the Ramah says, no, it's permissible. So one of the Rabbanim, one of my Rabbeim years ago said he came from Yerushalayim. He said that in Yerushalayim the minig was on a bris mila on Shabbos bedavke to have two moilim to demonstrate that the din is like the Ramah. So that, now in recent years the minig is they do mila and priya bevasachas. They just arrange it in such a way that they cut once and they cut off both the or horl and the or priya. So the Hungarians don't want to be mishana anything. So the Hungarians insist you have to do it in two separate pulas. You have to do mila separately and priya separately. And most people say not, sir. Yankiv Emden was a moil. So he writes that it's a hida mitzvah to do both bevasachas because it's a needed job. I don't know if that's related. I don't know if this shaila is related. Anyway, this is from the famous dinim from the parsha. And you have repeated all the arayas again with the punishments. Selcho b'chukas hagoy. At the end of Parshas Kedoshim, there's a din of chukas akum. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah and Tosfos in Sanhedrin points out, based on the reading of the Gemaras, the way they understood the Gemaras, that there are two prohibitions here. Selcho b'chukas hagoy. If the goyim have a chok l'Avodah Zarah, a minig that's a religious, part of a religious ritual for them, we're not allowed to do that even if we're doing it for the purpose of fulfilling a mitzvah. look, if the goyim start legging tefillin, it doesn't mean that we're not allowed to start wearing tefillin. We have no choice. We have to wear tefillin. But if they'll start wearing a chavesa, a talis exactly the way we wear, then maybe we should buy a different kind of a talis. We should not allow, whatever they adopt as a minig l'avodah zarah, we should avoid doing it, even if it's l'shem mitzvah. But if the goyim do it not l'shem avodah zarah, they do for whatever reason, so then if we're doing a l'shem mitzvah, then there's no prohibition. So Tosfos really holds that there are two psukim, there are two different makaros, two different aspects. The chukah sakim, one is a chok l'avodah zarah, and one is tam, what they call a minig shtus.
The goyim wear like the galachim wear like the yarmulkes, so maybe we should like get different types. Like they also wear big yarmulkes.
They wear what? Red yarmulkes. The cardinals. Cardinals wear red yarmulkes.
Right. Maybe you should be also.
The cardinals were just here last week. Were they wearing red? I don't remember. I was sitting in the same room with them. I don't remember if they were wearing red yarmulkes. I don't remember if they were wearing yarmulkes. Period. I don't know. We shouldn't wear red yarmulkes. Okay. Okay.
So, Rabbi, that's even for things that they get from us, like the talis that they got from us, let's say.
If we can fulfill the mitzvah of talis in a different way by having a different, instead of having a black stripes, if they're starting to wear with black stripes, then we should avoid it. We should wear a different kind of a talis. So din l'selcha b'chukas hagoy. We shouldn't associate with this lower level of society. The Jews should act as an umma bifnei atzma. It's an important din. Then you have the mitzvah at the end of the parashah. So the Rambam quotes this in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. It's a mitzvah livdok b'simonim. We spoke about it the other week, 2 weeks ago. The Rambam says, it's a mitzvah before you eat meat, before you shech the animal, you should check to see if it's malager, mafis, parsa. Before you eat fish, you should check to make sure that it has snapid or kaskesis. Before you eat fowl, you should check to make sure that it has simoni tahara. We don't check, but the shochet checks to make sure that the cow is malager, mafis, parsa. So we mentioned that Darkei Tshuva from the Munkacher writes, if you look at the animal, you know it's a cow. You know that all the cows are malager, mafis, parsa. So it's a shine. So that's it. A cow is a cow. If you look, you know it's a tuna fish. Tuna fish, we know, has snapper and kaskesis. If you have an animal, you don't know what the nature, you don't know what the name of the animal is. If you have a fish, you don't know what the fish is. So then, even though the roiv indicates that it's going to have snapper and kaskesis, or the roiv of these kind of animals in this part of the world, certainly have malager, mafis, parsa, so that's what the pasuk tells you. Don't go basar roiv. Usually you have a right to follow roiv. There, here it's a din. The hivdaltim, you have to be bodik b'simon. But if you know that it's a tuna fish, you know that it's a cow, so there's no choyvis b'dika simon. A cow, we know that, has malager, mafis, parsa. When you have achrei mois kedoshim, so whenever you have two parshios, mechubarim, so the abudram quotes two minhagim, where they say the haftar of the first parsha, they say the haftar of the second parsha. The haftarah should always be miyana diyoyma. So usually it's connected with the parshas HaShavuah. When you have yontif, the haftarah is connected with the yontif. That's the miyana diyoyma. When you have a chosin, so the haftarah is soisosis. The Ramah quotes from the days of the Mordechai, from the days of the Balei HaTosfos. Whenever there will be a chosin and shivus me'abishte, so we have the haftarah miyana diyoyma about a chosin. Or when Rav Aigoin died and his son took over, I think, so they lay in the Haftarah from the beginning of Yeshua, Moshe Rabbeinu died, and Yeshua was taking over. The Haftarah is supposed to be Minyan Adiyam. So here, either is good. Either the Haftarah from the first parsha, the second parsha, and the Minig Olam is the common Minig that we say the Haftarah from the second parsha. Except over here. Because the Mishnah Megillah has a Machlekes HaTanaim. Is it permissible? In the days of the Tanaim, whoever got Maftar would choose whichever Haftarah he wants to say. It should be Minyan Adiyam. It has to have a minimum of 21 psukim, unless it's Shalom Minyana. So the Mishnah has a Machlekes HaTanaim. Are you permitted to recite, to choose this Haftarah that we have printed for Kedoshim? Hodas Yerushalayim is Torah Voiseho. The Novi Cheskel was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give tochocha to the Jews who live in Yerushalayim that they're doing terrible averas. They're violating arayis and gezel and avodah zarah and shvichas domim, laman shvichtam. They do everything. They violated everything. So one Tana says it's not right. The Novi Yecheskel had to deliver the Nevuah. We have to learn the Nevi'im. Well, we should choose that Haftarah to go attack. There are a lot of people in Eretz Yisrael doing a lot of things that are wrong. A lot of people, a lot of Jews in America doing a lot of things. So we shouldn't attack the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. The Novi attacks. We shouldn't choose this Haftarah. So even though we don't paskin like that, we paskin Maftirim Teiris Yerushalayim, but the Minig developed that we don't. So that's why the Minig is, you always say Halok and Nekushim. You never say the Haftarah of Hodah Yerushalayim is Taiva Esehom. If it's Mechubarim, if it's two parshas together, so we'll always say Nekushim. And if it's separate, so either it's going to be Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, it's going to be Erev Rosh Chodesh, it's going to be Machar Chodesh, there's going to be some reason why we don't say it. And even if there's no reason, Rav Soloveitchik said where he came from in Europe, even if there's no reason, the minig was that they said Halok of Nekushim 2 weeks in a row. They would never say this after. In Eretz Yisrael, one of the Rabbanim printed a luach, and he never heard of this minig. So he quotes the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik. That's the only mocha that he had. That you say 2 weeks in a row, Halok of Nekushim Atemli. He quoted it from my sefer, the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik has in his sefer. He didn't have to quote from my sefer. Rabbi Soloveitchik has in one of the volumes, he has a drasha about the haftoris between Pesach and Shavuot. So he writes that in the sefer, that where he came from, the meaning was that they never said this haftorah, and they would say 2 weeks in a row. Hello to Vnei Kushim. Years ago, now it's, I don't think as much as it used to be, years ago, many people in America used to thrill to attack publicly all apikursim in Eretz Yisrael. There are a lot of apikursim. There are a lot of people doing things wrong. So Rabbi Soloveitchik always thought that it wasn't right. He thought that that's like ein lahavtu b'teiris Yerushalayim. And the Gemara tells there the Gemara quotes a Tosefta that once in Rabbi Lezer's shul, Rabbi Lezer is the one who says you're not allowed to say that after. Once in his shul, so the one who got the maftir on Shabbos chose to say this after, even though the rabbi in the shul said that it's not proper. So the rabbi made a comment, Achata bodek b'teiris Yerushalayim, instead of giving tochocha, tzei bedok b'teiris imecha. Go check about your mother's teiris. So Botko Achrov, they investigated and they found out he was a mamzer, that his mother had an affair with someone else, and the one was a mamzer. So you see, from the Gemara, only mamzerim are attacking the apikursim in Eretz Yisrael. There's a lot of work that has to be done. We have to all go to Eretz Yisrael and do the work. But we're not going to accomplish the work by standing in America and condemning those in Eretz Yisrael. They deserve to be condemned. You need a Navi who was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go condemn them. But we shouldn't do it, Bifrahas. Okay?